Today we'll be reading Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Now there are in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, ye scoffers, be astonished and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken to Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Like pretty much all the other chapters in the book of Acts, Acts 13 is action-packed. It begins with Barnabas and Saul being commissioned by the Church of Antioch, as the Holy Spirit directs the church during a time of worship and fasting to set them apart for his work. After being sent out at Cyprus, they have a dramatic encounter with Elymas, the magician, who opposes them. Saul, who is now referred to as Paul, is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks God's judgment on Elymas, who becomes blind, and the proconsul there believes. This all happens in the first 12 verses. From there, Paul and Barnabas go to Antioch in Pisidia, and on the Sabbath day, Paul gets an opportunity to preach at the synagogue. I'd like to focus on Paul's message for today's devotion, but to briefly sum up the rest of the chapter, many people start believing and following, and the whole city shows up the next Sabbath to listen. However, some of the leading Jews get very jealous and they influence enough other powerful people in the city to drive them out, upon which Paul interprets this as part of God's plan for him and Barnabas to be a light to the Gentiles and to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So back to Paul's message in verses 16 to 41. I think it can be summed up in three general parts. First, it's a brief history of everything leading up to Jesus. He starts at verse 17. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. So Paul starts by talking about the people of Israel during their time in Egypt. And then Paul transitions to mentioning King David, who all the Jews would likely agree was the greatest king of Israel. Paul quotes scripture that God found David to be a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Then verse 23, of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a savior, Jesus, as he promised. Paul sets the stage for Jesus by saying that he is King David's offspring, the savior that God has promised for Israel all along. The second part of Paul's message is about the life of Jesus, from verses 26 to 37. In verse 26, he says, the Jews have been sent the message of this salvation. The rulers in Jerusalem did not understand the prophets, so they had Pilate condemn Jesus to death, but they were actually fulfilling scripture by doing so. Jesus died on a tree, was laid in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. Paul quotes Psalms multiple times to prove that Jesus' resurrection was again part of God's promise to the fathers all along. Jesus, in fact, is greater than King David because Jesus did not see corruption since he was raised up. Lastly, the third part of Paul's message can be described as the effects of Jesus, from verses 38 to 41. I'll just read verses 38 and 39 again for us. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Paul proclaims that through Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins, a freedom that could not be achieved any other way. And the listeners have to beware lest they scoff at this amazing work of God and perish. Once again, Paul's gospel message to the Jews here in Antioch in this chapter is about the context to which Jesus came into, Jesus' death and resurrection, and the effects of Jesus to mankind. Today, I invite us to think about Paul's message and go back to the basics of our faith. Can we receive again this good news of Jesus' life and what it means for us? And can we be ready to share this good news with those around us, both those who we know and those who we don't know yet, but who God will open a door for us to share with? We should always be ready to share the good news of Jesus. At a very high level, our message should be the same as Paul's, talking about the world to which Jesus came to, the fact that he died and rose again, and its significance to everybody in the world. Let's be ready to proclaim that out of God's faithfulness, he sent his perfect son to actually walk on this earth. And though man, out of our rebellion to God, nailed him to the cross, that was part of God's perfect plan to bring us forgiveness. Death could not hold him down, and now we can enter a relationship with God. We can receive forgiveness of sins if we put our faith in Jesus. Let's pray that as a church, there will be many opportunities to share the good news, and that like Paul, we will boldly proclaim what we believe in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage and this chance to reflect on Paul's gospel presentation to the Jews. Lord, I pray that this would be so central to our lives, and God, that it would not be a rare occurrence for us to speak aloud this gospel to other people, but Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, open up doors, open up ways, bring us to divine conversations with others who perhaps we just meet briefly. But Lord, we pray for your Spirit to lead us to people who you want us to share the gospel with. And Lord, we pray that we would boldly proclaim it. Lord, just as we have believed it, and Lord, just as those hopefully will believe in as well. Lord, we entrust our lives to you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.